hey, everybody, we're taking a month off, and our reasons are our own, and we appreciate you for understanding. Having a podcast is a lot of fun, but sometimes you just need to stop and breathe and smell the roses for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe more, and we'll have an update of when the next episodes will be out. But don't worry, in that time off, we will be recording with each other. We have some guests already lined up, so we're not going to come in hot in September without some stuff. We're going to be like, hey, y'all, we've been busy. Oh, what is that? A new website? Oh my god, look at that! Listen, this one. Oh, it's real squeaky clean. Oh man, what is that? Is that merch? Oh my god, it's shirts and a hoodie. Oh, we're working on stuff. We want to give this a little breather so we can, you know, stop and smell the roses. Yeah, and rant.
You are listening to Food for Worms, the original True Grime podcast.
Back by the Lord. But no, man.
The Lord, our Savior, Corey Feldman. I don't know. I just picked a random child star, and I've been I've been wanting to watch Stand By Me lately because it's like one of my favorite summer movies. Like Brooke and I, we watch a lot of movies based on what time of year it is, and Stand By Me or like Sandlot, like those are like super summer movies to me. So it's just like that. Then you have to watch them, you know.
Yeah, no, I've never fallen into, besides like holiday movies, I've never fallen into like seasonal movie watches. It's always like that's a bullface lie. I usually try to watch Lord of the Rings during the holiday season. That's all
during the holiday season.
Yeah, just I'm not saying or implying that Lord of the Rings is a holiday movie, but let's just say Christmas is always coming when you're bringing the ring to Mordor. Let me tell you, you're just waiting for it to happen.
I mean, I guess, yeah, so, kind of, because I always kind of correlated Lord of the Rings with like fall, because Brooke and I watch that trilogy every fall. And I think, I don't know what that idea is based on, but I honestly think it's like, man, if I were dressed like that, I would be assuming that it's fall. Like, their robes and stuff like that. Like, I want to walk around like that, but only in the fall.
Okay.
I mean, well, yeah, but shoeless and just with hair creeping out. They're hobbits. On my toes.
Now you're just nitpicking. No, they're fucking hobbits. I'm not gonna just be walking out there with no shoes on. You can only do that in the fall. No, Sam. No, it's a.
They didn't do it in Minnesota, man. That's fucking cold shit.
Yeah, well, good thing it's in Middle Earth, not Minnesota. Now I'm being mean. I'm sorry. No, it's I've always associated like with the long journey movies with holidays. So I'm like, I'm gonna watch this movie. That's gonna be a long one, depending on if you're watching the fucking special editions or not. But as I've gotten older, it's kind of harder to find like 3 hours. 3.5 hours, unless I like go to a movie theater. It's like I left my house for this, not like I'm at home doing this whole thing. And I guess I've just kind of fallen off movies more often, like fallen off on movies at home, which is my thing. But
right,
I associate just sitting down for a few hours and just like watching those movies back to back to back. I haven't done it with The Hobbit yet, and I haven't felt like the need to, but I do need to. I just get really frustrated with Thorin Oakenshield, and it's kind of like, I get it, man, but fuck. It's like, I guess it was easier to feel that way about Thorin Oakenshield in the book, but once you like meet him, it's like this is the most abusive relationship. It's like, yeah, either you're with me or against me, and then we all almost die, so you're cool for like 15 minutes, and then you turn into an asshole again. I'm like, dude, chill. Well, now I'm just ranting about fucking Lord of the Rings. Anyway, I wanted to talk about Nichelle Nichols, who recently passed away from the Star Trek. The
original I didn't Star know Trek that.
Series. Yeah, she passed away on July 30th, man, 89 years old.
Is she the one that like her and William Shatner had the first like biracial kiss on television.
It was biracial kiss. No, it was interracial
kiss. Or
the biracial kiss.
The interracial, the first interracial kiss, right? That was with her, right?
That is the title, the biracial kiss.
Anyway. Dude, we should start a band. A band
the
called
biracial kiss.
Biracial no. kiss, and it's no. and it's different,
oh, no.
different nationalities of people dressing up like Kiss, and holy it's a shit. And it's a cover band.
Yeah, all right.
But people won't get the inside joke. They'll be like, "Why did they call it the biracial kiss?" Like,
yeah, and then they'll be like, "Why is Sam in the band? Are you biracial, Sam? Sam, are you biracial?"
I just bring the white.
Yeah. Oh my god. Ebony and I are back at it. But no, Nichelle Nichols passed away on the 30th of this of July 30th this year. And it was you know, we're starting to see a lot of our elders pass on. So it's been some of my earliest memories were watching the original Star Trek when it used to come on late. Like it was like before and or after Next Generation and Xena and Hercules and all those fucking TV shows back then. But yeah, she was an American actress, singer, and dancer, best known for her portrayal of Noyota Uhura on Star Trek and the film sequels. And it was very groundbreaking for at the time because she was one of the first black actors and actresses to be portrayed as like somebody that has who is in charge.
Yep,
like she was on the bridge. Like whenever you watch shows like that. Not necessarily Star Trek, but like just like ship shows. If you're black or if you're a black person or person of color, yeah, you're fucking peeling potatoes, my guy. Or you're just like this, whatever bullshit. So back then, her being in that position was really fucking important. And it's honestly, if you can find a bunch of different black actors and actresses, who can black and brown actors who can point towards, Nichelle Nichols. As inspiration, especially like back then, like all those little black girls and boys who became actors who are like our elders now as well, can point back to her being like, you made me think that it was possible. So yeah, man, she fucking passed away, and it kind of threw it. It was one of those like I wasn't thinking it was gonna be her, and then I had a handful of other people passed away, but. Yeah, I just want to say rest in peace and thank you, I guess.
And she's 80. You said she was 89, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, and this was earlier this year. And like William Shatner's like 84, 85 or something like that. And she looked. What's that? No, that's what I'm saying. Like she looks significantly younger than him on the show. And like he does look older than that, you know, and
William Shatner is 91 years old. Fuck.
Okay. Never mind. I didn't know he was fucking
holy
91.
Shit.
Jesus Christ. Him and Clint Eastwood and Mel Brooks are all just holding it down. Like I think Mel Brooks is coming up on like 95, 96 or something like that. Fucking, I guess I was fully wrong. What?
Well, yeah. No,
what? William Shatner.
Yeah. He's 91, but, yeah.
Do you think anybody ever called him Bill Shat?
I mean, somebody. somebody did. If it wasn't them, it was definitely you just now. No, that was after hearing how she passed, that she had passed. And I've been trying to be more mindful about like the television and media that I've been consuming that may bum me out. Like, I don't think like for me, first and foremost, is a good story. So I see all this being like, I will still go back to these types of stories if it's a good story and compelling and I find something interesting about it. But there is, but outside of that, I've been trying to be mindful of not consuming media that can be really fucking depressing. Like, and with that also means that I'm not looking for like happy-go-lucky, but those like little underlying messages in shows and the way like a premise can start. Can be really can be really grounding, and I don't know, can kind of bring you out of the fucking mud. Like there's just been a lot of shit that's like, yeah, post-apocalyptic dystopia, 7-Eleven on 3 a.m. it's all going down here. They're vampires who are gonna suck your blood and the government's involved, and it's kind of like, fuck, I just want this comedy to get funny and it's not yet. So that shit. And then going back to shows like Star Trek and seeing in back then, but then also the newer offshoot shows they have going on now, and how in the story of Star Trek, like it comes from the distant future, coming from a world that's like solved all or most of the problems that ailed humanity. Mm-hmm. And then after they did that, then they looked to the stars, and then the show became a show a little bit about hope. Like the story doesn't start with like, yeah, the sky's on fire and half the universe, half of the planet Earth is sunken underneath the waves. No, that's Star Wars. That movie started. But
which one came first?
No, one of the things I appreciate about Star Trek, fuck you, Sam, is how after the world as they know it, kind of they fix the problems there, and then they start going off into space, and they end up finding the same problems out in space too, with, you know, alien races and the different cultures and like fucking wars that happen and shit. But
right,
the story isn't based in hopelessness. That's one of the things that I appreciate about Star Trek and its many offshoots, where it's like, yes, they have a lot of political intrigue and Star Trek spaceship in a spaceship scenario kind of procedural type of storytelling, but it's not based on being like, yeah, we're doing that with the backdrop of a hopeless war, and if there is a hopeless war, at some point it's gonna get better, maybe,
right,
probably.
They're always, well, and that's the thing, is like, what would the point of it be? Like, they're always shooting for like to get past this obstacle, which obviously, mm-hmm, if they weren't, there wouldn't be a story. But I fully agree, because like, you never get the vibe that there's like a doomsday type of thing going on. It is them like shooting to make better, you know, or try to make the best out of what's going on.
Yeah, I think try to make the best of what's happening. I think that's a great way to put it as well. Yeah, no, but no, like, even if there are storylines where there is like, no, there's a war and things kind of hopeless right now, it's for the fact of storytelling. But the universe itself isn't based in this myopic sense of it's all bad all the time. And if anything, yep, well, and while we do live sometimes in that kind of universe right now, sometimes having a show like a Star Trek and shows like it in that kind of same vein, like the Orville and other ones, it's good to kind of take in that kind of storytelling that isn't so fucking hopeless, so you don't feel hopeless. Because we can find things entertaining, but the entertainment is also like kind of poking and prodding at our already sense of doom and fucking gloom.
Right.
That's also not, I've been finding that's not healthy for me. So while I do acknowledge that no matter what, it's a form of escapism, that escapism leaves an imprint on me, and that imprint's really important with how I operate. Because I'll watch some shit that's like, yeah, this is like, try and watch Handmaid's Tales. Like, Handmaid's Tales makes you makes you angry.
Yeah, empathy can bite you in the ass really hard. Because if you're really like feeling for, and I'm not saying not to be empathetic, but like when it comes to these like even fictional stories, mm-hmm, it still pulls at the heartstrings, and then you're legit angry or bummed out about something that someone else wrote that's going on in this thing. So I fully understand that.
Yeah, that's a mark of good storytelling. Yeah.
Yeah, mainly for me, like if it's something that like legitimately like affects me like that, like I love true crime and stuff, but like to a certain, like I'm just saying like that's what's like doom and gloom if I'm watching something. Like I like a lot of like movies about, or like docu-series about like serial killers or like true crime and stuff like that. And then after a while, like I'm a huge true crime guy, but mm-hmm, but after a while it can just become overwhelming, and then you're just taking in like every single thing, and you start to feel everything that's going on with it.
So yeah, it just stresses you the fuck out, man.
Yeah, and that's the type that it, like, I used to listen to Sword and Scale all the time. The
Sword and Scale? What is that?
it's a very big, I don't know how big they are now. I haven't listened to it for a couple of years, but they are a like true crime podcast, and they talk about like gnarly crimes that have happened. And I used to listen to true crime podcasts all the time. And after a while, it just like got to be so much that you're like, the more you just hear about these stories, the more you're just like, oh my God, is there any good in the world? You know, and you, and you can't lose, you know, like you were saying with Star Trek, you can't lose hope in humanity or the world that we live in, because, you know, then we wouldn't be fucking, you know, trying to make treaties with other planets or trying to like,
it's like not losing hope. Like, I guess like, I think we can all lose hope. And I think it's,
well, it's natural.
It's natural. It's natural to lose hope. I guess whenever I think of hope, I always think it was like, the one lifeline keeping you from fucking floating off into space. I feel like that. I think that's hope. And I think slowly but surely over time, we're able to create more tendrils to ground us back into the reality, being like, hey, it's not so bad, because my tenuous thread at best is still connected to the ground, and I'm able to stay here and, you know, appreciate, you know, having a podcast with my best friend and just kick in, just, you know, stuff like that. So,
note, I gotta say, hey, everybody, welcome to the Food for Worms podcast. My name is Sam.
Yeah, that's Sam. Hi, everybody. And I'm Darian. Nice to see you, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Now I got like ideas going on, because I was just thinking, you know how like Elon Musk is like main focus right now. We don't have to get into all this shit.
I try not to think of Elon Musk, but okay.
No, I know, but I mean, he's like the evil genius that none of us asked for right now, and he's trying to get us out into space and all these things.
I thought you almost said Sparta. I'm like, don't.
No, I combined space and Mars, so I said spars. But I was just thinking, like, to take care of like one of our problems, if he wants to be like a little helpful, I think he should use SpaceX to get all of our pollution, all plastic off of the planet, and then create another moon out of our out of all the fucking recyclables that we have, like put it in one enormous fucking bag.
A trash moon,
and then
put a trash moon.
Yes. Yeah. Where, I mean, that would actually solve the fucking problem. If there's just another blob.
No, it would make another blob.
There's another blob in the sky. Whoop-de-doo. We're not catching rings around the fucking noses of dolphins or like turtles. It could possibly, you know, help us out a little bit if we created either another moon or planet. As long as we get it in our orbit and it's somewhere in the Milky Way, then we're fine. No. Then we can actually monitor it. If we launch it out of there, then we can feel fucking guilty. Because don't know where the fuck it is. It's on some other
fucking... Why are you so fucking aggressive? So, Jesus Christ, no.
I don't know. I'm just thinking, this is passion. This isn't anger. It's passion,
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear you're passionate about this. Let me just start by saying that even if I had like a week, I don't think I could get to all the different points of why that'd be a terrible idea. But I appreciate you putting that out here.
So, Darian, your assignment is to think of all of the ways that's a bad idea. I think it's a very good idea. I'll start with one.
I think I'll start with one. Creating a moon-sized object and throwing it into our orbit. It could, one, we have random falling bits of debris coming down at Earth at all given times of day, because it would keep falling off of it. So, by doing that, creating another moon size, a trash moon per se, so to speak, it would create, I don't know what it would create because I'm not a fucking scientist, but I know that just based off what I know, that it could just create a whole new situation with the tides flooding countless cities, killing billions. So
okay, well then we're so we're so obsessed with going to Mars. So let's just take all of our garbage and bring it to Mars and drop it off on Mars. As long as it's in their hemisphere, then they can deal with the problem on Mars.
Who's they on Mars?
The Martians, dude. Jesus, okay. Fuck. Who takes care of the Martian garbage? The Martians do. Okay. And they're thinking, hey, they're trying to figure out where their garbage is supposed to go.
Fuck, man. Yeah. Did you see the thing about the 900 band?
You had sent me a message, and I think I saw a video either the day of or the day prior. I saw it on, I think, Tony Hawk's Instagram.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, at their show on stage singing with them. And, like, people were like, Tony Hawk's singing with this fucking... they're called the 900, right?
Yeah, called the 900. They're band based out of the UK, and I need to refresh myself on the Tony Hawk Pro Skater songs,
they're a cover band of all the Tony Hawk Pro Skater songs, right?
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, I was about to say the UK's first and finest, but I would say only Tony Hawk Pro Skater cover band. They cover the bangers from Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 all the way up through the last game, American Wasteland, I guess. But one of the dudes, the song that's the most popular, arguably, from the soundtrack, is Superman by the band Goldfinger. And the singer John Feldman, he reacted to it. He's like, holy shit, these guys sound better than us, which I thought was hilarious. I was just like,
that's so great, because that is such a, like, that song put them on the map, and then they're just like, man, these guys fucking killed it more than we do.
but I've been appreciating the creativity that's been coming from, the creativity of, like, kind of going through and just real, like, shaking alive things that were once popular. This is one example of, In a very niche and really specific and awesome way, but like one was like emo night. There have been dance nights like that for a long time, but somebody actually went and made like a full on like a club or like a small venue dance party called emo night, and they started like booking some of the lead vocalists from those groups, and they would do one of their songs from like 2003 or some shit. Like Census That's Fails rad. Done it, a few other, and it's been really fucking cool. And but there's been like this revamping of nostalgic, but like the things that we thought that were nostalgic about from 15 years ago or a little bit further out is being kind of pushed back out in this really new way that we hadn't before. Like I've been to a few emo nights when I was living in Minneapolis still. And at first I was kind of like, really, we're doing this? And then I was like, no, the idea of being in a room full of people that are also screaming from the top of their lungs, Helena from My Chemical Romance. I'm like, well, this is nice. At least I know like everyone else in this room, most people in this room know this song, so I guess that's cool. Because before it was like, oh, guess what, tonight we're going to be listening to Drake. We're doing a whole Drake night, everybody. Drake for all. Drake, Seven Seasons in a Movie. Drake all day. The Boy.
Well, and I know
the Rotten Soldier.
So out of the loop with people like Drake, because I don't know if I could name one Drake song. Like honestly, like I've never listened to Drake, and I know that he's like one of the most popular artists of all time.
That's fair.
But
I would honestly, next time you're just like doing some yard shit with some headphones on, just put some Drake on and just see how you like it. Just find any album and just play it, and it's just good vibey music. Like,
well,
that's how I'm always taking Drake.
For newer rap and hip hop, like the stuff that I've been getting into is more like Kendrick Lamar, and then like some of like Kanye's catalog, like, and then I've been brushing back up on like Jay-Z and stuff, because I got into such a pit of like what I've listened to for hip-hop for so long that I just love, and then I've just been kind of diving into some of the artists that I kind of like snoozed on when they were like doing their thing, like right when it started. So I mean, that's the only new stuff that I've really been getting into hip-hop wise, and that's for like the past like couple years. So
well, I would greatly recommend putting on some Drake sometimes. He's he's one of the biggest rappers in the world. He's one of the biggest artists in the world. He's one of the biggest pop stars in the fucking world. So I just want to give that dude his flowers where it's fucking deserved. But I will say that he can be very polarizing with some folks. Some folks don't fuck with him at all. And some people are like, well, Drake is Drake. And I mean, I'm one of the people being like, Drake is Drake. Like, let's not front. Like, he makes good music, and all, it comes down to, like, you know, what your tastes are. But it's like if you're just trying to, like, listen to some vibey shit and just kind of talk your shit while you're doing laundry, go for it. Well, put some Drake on. I defy you. Have fun.
And I think I'm just gonna stick with Kendrick and Kanye, or Ye as he's going as, and okay. And just because I like kind of the mystery of some artists, like not knowing, not assuming that I know anything about them, but also having like somewhat of an idea of like what I think he's like or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like there's always been like artists. Well,
are we still talking about Drake? Or are we talking about Kendrick Lamar?
Yes, I'm talking about Drake. Like, I just think Drake's a goofball. Like, just because I don't know his music, so like as a person, I just think he's a silly guy. Okay. Because like the videos that I do see,
a weird reason to not give him a try.
No, I don't want to.
Think Drake's a goofball. Like, what is it?
Well, because like I didn't know Kendrick until I listened to Kendrick. You know,
Drake, what did you think about Kendrick before you got into him? Like, what? Like, what was your actual thought?
I mean, I just thought he was like a. I saw him as kind of like a, maybe a Nas, kind of like a poet. But that's rappers and hip hop artists in general. It's poetry over fucking gnarly beats. Like, obviously, that's one and the same for like all. Yeah, I just said gnarly beats while but I just kind of got that vibe of being maybe like super. I don't know what the word would be, prophetic or something like that. Like,
no, I think that's the vibe
I just got from him. And then I saw Damn, and then I knew he won the Grammy. And that's when what sparked my interest was like, not that he won the Grammy, but just seeing the album everywhere. Like, that's one that's on my list of albums to buy, but they're like $35 to $40 most places. And there's like a long list of records that when I have a spare $35-$40, they're like a little bit higher on the list than Kendrick Damn, but it's on my fucking list, and I've just been getting into him this past couple of years, and I don't have fucking room in my ear space for Drake, D, so okay. I'm fucking sorry.
Jesus Christ. All right, well, next time you're feeling when you're feeling curious,
squirrely. Oh, curious.
Yeah, you're squirrely most of the time, so it's kind of hard to like say, are you, you're feeling squirrely? No, your default setting is squirrel. Okay, if there's a little knob with all the things like just like chill at work squirrely, you wake up, you're like, all right, feeling squirrely, man. Anyway, when or if you feel like getting like being a little curious, I can make you a few Drake songs. It doesn't even need like a whole ordeal. It can just be a like nice listening session. And what I don't compare Drake to, the only ways that I will compare Drake to Kendrick in any way is that they are both gigantic artists who have had a lasting and will have had a long lasting impact on hip hop and pop culture and pop music as a whole, because they have both shifted. Mm-hmm. They have both pressed the envelope in different, very specific ways. And they are both great in different conversations. Give both those dudes their flowers. I'm saying onto you as somebody that is like, no, check, give it a try. The way that Kendrick, you say, can be kind of prophetic and a true poet, and that he's a poet. I feel like he's a poet who happens to rap, and the way that he expresses his words is through hip hop and rap. If you're just looking for like talk your shit, like also on some toxic bullshit too, like that's also there, but there are some songs where it's like a fucking anthem, and it is a larger than life song that has greatly influenced the last 10 nearly 15 years of hip-hop. So I'm saying, like, I will make you a Drake playlist and just let me know how you like it. And if you don't, that's cool. But he's not a silly guy, okay? That's
he's kind of silly.
I mean, probably he's got a sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly. So he's a silly fucking guy. Like Lil Jon, is Lil Jon not a silly guy?
Not
like Lil Jon is a little silly guy. Okay.
Okay. He's a silly guy. You'd say that to that grown ass man and, you know, not get fucking punched in your throat. Anyway, we'll be right back, everybody. We're gonna go on quick break.
Okay.
Food Performance Podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sam, you've been in therapy, right?
Yeah, it always helps my brain and my heart to get the weird, sad, scary stuff off my chest.
Yeah, man, the case of the sads comes at you fast, but yeah, without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace in this day and age is just hard. It truly is.
Well, and I mean, who wants to go to an office where you have to be by like a real life human?
Absolutely not. No, not in this meat body, sir. No, I'm not doing that.
Well, and then like the recycled air, just that you both have to breathe in each other's faces.
To validate your parking and talk to Janice outside. No, thank you. To avoid that nightmare fuel, BetterHelp is a customized online therapy that offers video, phone, or live chat sessions with a licensed therapist. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy and can start communicating with the therapist in under 48 hours. That's nice, right?
Yeah. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Food for Worms listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/foodforworms.
Goddamn right.
That's betterhelp.com/foodforworms. I stopped home on my lunch today, and my kiddo, her favorite movie right now is Aladdin, which makes me like super fucking proud. But like that, along with a bunch of other ones, like on the streaming platform, they give like an intro now to like talk about how there's certain things in it that are offensive, but at the time, like, you know, they didn't warn us about it. So it's basically like, hey, talk to your kids about this stuff. But we were just like chatting about how the majority of them, I think they started to catch on a little bit more when we were kids. But like just knowing like how, you know, we have to warn ourselves about these fucking things now. Like it's not shit that we can just joke about openly. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Well, I guess it still depends on what the joke is, but like, yeah, looking back at all those things, like one thing that I always try to keep in mind is that those things back then were made by people that were made by or financed by people that were a little bit older than we were at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was like, sometimes it's like, it was a different world. Like if you try to go back and watch any of those, like Sweet 16 or any of those other movies, like the Molly Ringwald movies, like that whole run of movies she did back then. All those movies are total fucking, not all of them, but a good chunk of them have more than one cringy part that's kind of like, fuck, right, man, no.
Right. Like specifically like 16 Candles has some like extremely racist shit. Like Long Duck Dong, the character in itself is 100% just horribly racist.
Dude, that, between that one and then the shit with Revenge of the Nerds. I was like, this movie got made? Like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, and I mean, that's probably close to, like, I don't know, 7-8 years before, like, the Molly Ringwald. I feel like bit earlier 80s. But, like, the Darth Vader mask fooling a girl to have sex with you type of thing. It's like, we didn't think of that shit back in the day.
How about this? I'm taking the we out of it. I'm talking about them. So, like, back then, they made those movies, and it was, but I don't know, it came down to sensibilities, but even then, it's like, I guess the main part of it is being like, looking back at all of it, even with our shit, there are just little things, obviously the sensibilities of people have changed, but then also the idea that it was like, this was just okay back then, and at this point, it's kind of like, at this point, it just is, and I appreciate that they've taken the time to be like, hey, this was terribly not tasteful then, and it definitely is now. So here are some talking points about these things. I appreciate that they're doing that. I haven't seen that. Out of all the things, switching to a lighter tone, out of all the things with Disney Plus, I have not sat down and watched like any like cartoon movies or anything. I'm just kind of like, Disney Plus is like all the new content, because I've, here's the thing, I've seen everything. I've seen everything this once. And I'm kind of like, cool. After like Princess and the Frog, I just kind of stopped caring a little bit. But that's me. I'm like, I'm going to watch this, but I'm not going to watch this again unless I'm like sitting down with like kids like, hey, let's watch fucking Frozen. It's always Frozen.
Well, and it is always Frozen, but I mean, there's like Moana and Encanto, I think, are better
than Frozen. I wish that it was fucking Moana. It's never Moana.
Yeah, and Moana's fucking fantastic. And Encanto, that was like a, I don't mean to like talk about kids' movies you haven't seen if you haven't, but Encanto, it was like, I didn't like it the first time I watched it, but then I thought it was amazing the second time around, because it was so much going on, and you dive straight into their world.
Yeah, they don't give you a moment.
No, and like right away, it's like, this is a little fucking overwhelming. Like, I don't know why the hell is the house moving, and who the fuck is turning into everybody, who the hell's the kid turning into everybody else, and like, you don't know the context when you walk into the thing, but I'm just saying, like, they're killing it with the new ones, and they're definitely making more of a point, because they're making a lot of the new ones now are starring like characters of a different culture, different nationality, and they're doing a great job at respecting those fucking cultures. You can tell.
I think that they're respecting them. I'm saying, like, a lot of that comes from like them actually going to people from those cultures to write, direct, and create those things. Like if you look at the, like, it's like the story comes from Pixar, whichever way that comes in, but the people that write it, the people that make them, the fucking write the score, they are all connected to it in that way. And then that's one of the things that's one of the big things that were missing in the 90s when they were making those movies. So I don't know, it's one of those like, you love to see it. Like, but it's like a technically, you love to see it that it, but I'm sorry it took this long, because like, yeah, there's it's fun going, it's funny when you do sit down and watch old Disney movies and then you see all the shit just being like that was a risque joke even for today's standards, sir. Sometimes it is what it is.
Some of them it was just like, what the fuck were you thinking, man? Just like,
they weren't
I know that they didn't think twice about any of it. You know, they're just like, oh, that's fucking funny to me. I don't care about who's gonna watch this in the future. And I think they think about that more thinking like with these kids movies, like, how is it gonna be perceived in a decade? You know, like Frozen came out a decade ago. There's no fucking like offhand, off color type of thing with Frozen, at least not that I know of.
No, here's the thing. I don't think, okay, well, for some reason, the sensibilities change in Frozen could be considered terribly, grossly inappropriate in 10 years. That's one thing. I guess in terms of being a creative, I think every creative should make the thing that they want to make now. And then obviously if you're making those things and you're making those things, and now you have the sensibilities of today. And if you subscribe to any of those, you can make a Frozen, or it's like, you can make this really very sweet, wholesome film about sisterhood. But I will also say sisterhood and love. But I'll also say that Lilo and Stitch did that shit first. So let's not get a fucking twist. Everybody should say Frozen is the perfect sister movie. Like, it is. It's one of them. And the first one was fucking Lilo and Stitch, motherfuckers. So that's my rant into that part. The second part is, things should be made for the time that they're in. And I don't think creatives are making things wondering how they're going to take it in 10 years. If they are, cool, but I think it's like, you're making those things for today's sensibilities. The broad stroke is that back then, 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago, the sensibilities were fucked to a point, or they were skewed in a bunch of different directions. It was meant in a wholesome way, but it was normal to slip in some weird joke like that. And it could have just been because like one of the executive producers was like somebody's fucking hairdresser, and he always swear like a fucking sailor. And he was able to get a really weird joke into this movie because he knew a guy. And he moved on. Anyway, shout out to Lilo and Stitch. Anyway, so
fuck yeah, Lilo and Stitch. I feel like a very underrated movie now. Like, Like, when we were kids, I remember a bunch of people being way into that movie, but I don't know if kids are as into it now. I guess I don't know.
I don't know. It's so... I think kids are into movies, no matter what. Into cartoon movies, no matter what. I can't say for how popular it is, but I would say, like, at that time, Lilo and Stitch was, like, really popular, and they even had, like, a few sequels and a TV show at one point, so I think it definitely had a shelf life. I would love to see, like, Lilo and Stitch now. Like, what is... Like I'd like to see, like, a teenage Lilo, or, like, a young adult Lilo just being like, yeah, I grew up with this motherfucker, and he's just... He's my dog. My alien dog. And she... I don't know. I think it'd be a really fun thing. Should we write...
Stitch
should we write
just got a
movie?
Full gray beard. Yeah, I'd love to, but Stitch has got, like, a full gray beard. He's wearing, like, some, like old man, like, Jeff Goldblum glasses. Like good-looking fucking seeing glasses that might be, like, a little tinted or something like that. Like, that's what Stitch is rocking. And then
and he's sitting there, hurt on the table with his chest bare. You know?
Her sister's finally, like, with the guy that, like, was crushing on her or whatever. Like, they actually did end up together, and then and she's still just like a fox, and Lilo's still
he's getting real sexual about the cartoon.
I got some plants yesterday, and we're working on our or we have been working on our... it's like a native wildflowers. It's in the boulevard down by the sidewalk, and that's what we want for next year, is to just, like, that's going to be our front fence. So, like, don't walk through my yard, because it's now it's going to be filled with, like, flowers that are from 2 to 5 to 6 to... we're going to do some sunflowers that are probably going to be, like, the not the super huge ones, but the ones that get, like, 7 feet or something like that. Because we've
done the not super huge ones.
Well, that's still a big flower, yes. But we've done the super big ones that you have to put, like, you have to at least get, like, wire it up on your fence, because they're 10 to 12 feet tall. Like I think they're, like, gigantic or gargantuan.
Oh, they're fucking huge, yeah.
I'm talking, like, the seed pack. I think it was, like, a G word, but I don't fucking remember.
Well, somebody's growing sunflowers on our block. It's in, like, one of the little square areas. People, they can, like, if there's any amount of green space besides, like, the trees, below those trees, there's either a place where somebody has taken the time to make a little nice area in front of their place, or it's just a fucking pit with a bunch of gravel and dirt in it. And some people have been like, they'll go all out. There's, like, they'll make, like, a little bench or some shit, and it's really cute. And some people are like, yo, I'm going to grow some fucking sunflower seeds and fuck all y'all. Walk around it.
Well, and
it's very sweet to see.
Oh, I wanted to say, like, I'm really stoked. Like, walking around neighborhoods these days, like, we go on a lot of walks with the kids and with the dog and stuff. And, you know, we're gardeners, so we are always checking out other people's gardens and their house and admiring people's houses and stuff. And Brooke and I always talk about how thrilled we are about, like, that's... And maybe it's just because we're at the age that we're working on gardens and we have our own garden and stuff like that, that we notice so many more people would rather have flowers and rocks and and sedum and these big grasses and all of this stuff all over their yard instead of fucking grass. Because I forget what decade it was, but way back in the day, I think it was developed by the French. Like, the full green grass lawn became the thing, like, 70, 80 years ago. And I'm pretty sure it's, like, European. And I think it's French, but, like, now we're finally, like, we need to just make our fucking yards into some prairies and make this shit natural, you know, which is what we try to do.
No, that's been one of the directions that a lot of people, not a lot, that okay, I'm not saying everybody's doing it, but I know that that is the direction some people have been aiming towards, because it's becoming more and more like inefficient to have it's becoming less and less efficient to have a gigantic yard full of just grass that you have to water all the time. So yeah, I know. And
if it's a good looking yard too, like if it's like one of those prim and proper perfect grass yards, they're probably more than likely using chemicals on that shit, and that shit is so bad for the neighborhood, for like other plants, for fucking bugs, for animals, all this different stuff. And so I mean, there's a lot of factors that come out of it. Like, what is that grass providing you? You know, these flowers give us some like wildlife, and bushes, and trees are giving us. And we've always had trees, but I think more and more people are trying to plant more trees. You know,
well, between that and then maybe not so much in the yards, but just having the space to just be like, I'm not using nearly as much water, and I'm okay with that. The other part would be like, it was done with the express purpose of being able to see people walking up to your house 20 feet in every direction. He's being like, nope, you're not getting up to my house. I'm protecting my family. Protecting them real good.
Well, some people build their yard up and like make like, there's one yard in specifically in my neighborhood that they have built like mounds in their yard and just have like trees and bushes and flowers and stuff all over it. You can't get over these mounds. They're super high. Like they definitely rot in dirt. And then their backyard is basically in like a pit with a fence around it, and they just have two dogs.
Do not promise me with a good time. This place sounds amazing.
It is, and it's like Secret Garden meets Michael Myers house in Halloween. So it's like, right. It's creepy and dark, but then they have gorgeous shrubs and flowers everywhere, with like their backyard is almost in like a pit, and it's like a defense type of thing. They're like, get the fuck out of our yard, and we have two dogs that are gonna be down in this pit if you come back here.
That's the fucking vibe, man. That's all I want.
But then the front is like Michael Myers, like, don't come in here, someone will kill you.
Yeah, that's the vibe. I just want to be like, I want to be like the house where it's like, no, Darian seems like he's pretty chill and well adjusted to, you know, the madness of this world. But his fucking his lawn though, that's is that a catapult? Hmm? A catapult in the yard? Oh, fuck. Yeah, he does. And if you look over the tree, you just see me in some gillyweed hanging out in a tree, just surveying my lawn, just being like, come over here, or hey. Don't come over here. Stay there.
It's you with one of those old school, like it's got the pedal on it, the like blade sharpeners with the stone on it, and that thing's just like spinning in your yard. But it's one of the ones that you power. The people look into your yard, like they actually make it up to your fence and they're looking into your yard, and then there's with a fucking mask on, and you're there with the stone just sharpening every single blade that you fucking own all the time. I actually think that you should take up blacksmithing. You would be fucking rad at...
You have like, no idea if I'd be good at blacksmithing.
Yes, you would. Shut the fuck up. If you got into like making some blades and stuff, I think that'd be like a perfect Darian pastime, especially just to put off the vibe of like, don't come in my yard because I'm working on more knives.
It's less about the yard and it's more just leave me alone. It's more like no, like, I'm pretty chill. Cool, I'm a good hang. Come through. But if you could, for the most part, leave me alone. Yeah, no, it'd be I don't know why I'm so antisocial. No way, I know why I'm antisocial, but you know, I'm friendly and antisocial. Good talk, yeah, man.
What's your shout out for this week right before we go on break? I think you should shout out your business, your side business, your side hustle that is not Food for Worms.
Oh yeah, everybody go check out Worthwhile Junk Pile, either on eBay or Instagram or Facebook. I mean, you can, and then get a hold of me there. Go check out my wares. I'm currently like working these days to try and make some extra money on the side, and it's actually working out. But I have a lot of stuff for sale over there, mainly like a bunch of rad records and old vintage clothes. So fucking worthwhile junk pile. Check it out.
Worthwhile junk pile. Hey, everybody. That's dope, man. I'm excited. I've been, huh?
What are you gonna shout out, D?
This week I'm going to shout out Nicole Visconti. She is a very awesome agent over at marketing agent badass over at UTA here in New York City. We've had the pleasure of running into each other at a few different shows, and it's always been with my homegirl Emily, who we always go to shows together. But I ran into Nicole, and it's one of those like you've wanted to meet somebody, but you've only met them in really specific scenarios. I've never met her in an office. I never met her at the grocery store. It's like, I'm there, she's there. Hey. And then we're like, we should hang out. And I was like, yeah, totally. it's one of those. But she's very sweet. But I got to spend a little bit of time with her at Coheed and Cambria, and she's fucking dope. She's one of those people. And I'm just going to give her her very real flowers. When her name comes up in fucking rooms, the hype is real. She's a fucking badass. There's fucking motherfuckers sit up straight when they say her fucking name. She's fucking dope, and it's been really cool to see her work. I had the pleasure working with her one time last summer, and that was enough to be like, well, you're fucking amazing. So, and then moving here, getting the chance to bump into her a few times, but then also like working with people who like her name is good with them too. I'm like, that is a beautiful thing, because there's always like, I just get really excited whenever I get to meet people like that. It's like when you hear about people without you bringing them up, I'm like, that's fucking dope. I'm like, cool. So that means like your name is just good out here in these streets. Like, motherfuckers fuck with you, and that's dope.
Don't forget the hype. Don't forget the hype.
Nicole, if you listen to this, listen, like, believe your own hype. You're amazing. Everybody loves you. So, yeah, man. Yeah, that's what I'm shouting out this week. But I want to shout out the listeners more than anything. Thank y'all for being here. I know y'all have been wondering about what my our skincare routine is, and you know, we'll let you know in the next episode. So,
what? Yeah. We're gonna tell them about our skin? I have nothing. So Dean will tell you about his skincare.
No, Sam, between now and then, we're gonna get Sam a skincare routine. It's gonna be amazing. So, Sam, wait. Are you cool if I read us out?
You said that we were gonna take our next break. So I'm confused. Did
I? Oh, we're gonna take our next break right to hell. Or do you have anything else you want to talk about?
You can just read us out if you want. You can read us out. That's fine.
Okay. As he takes the head off of a oney. All right. Thank you all for listening to the Food for Worms podcast. If you want to submit any questions or topics, contact us at foodforwormspodcast@gmail.com. There's no other in there. Sorry. We don't advertise, so be sure to rate, follow, write a review, and tell your friends about Food for Worms. You can listen to Food for Worms on apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. You could be anywhere. You chose to be here, and for that, we are always eternally thankful and grateful. And other sentiments,
we are eternally grateful.
As always, check on your strong friends, tell you people you love them, and remember, you can't take any of this with you. Also,
don't be a fucking dick.
We ain't here for long, so you know, get after it. This has been Food Forum. Sam, I love you, and I will see you next month, you sexy motherfucker.
I love you, Darian. And I love you, listeners. And
objectify me, Sam.
You sexy bastard. I fucking love you.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Love you guys. We'll talk to you very soon. All right. The Food Forums podcast is a catastrophic production and is recorded and mixed by Samuel Sarver. Associate producers are Coach Bombay, The Feeling You Get When You See a Rainbow, and Zeke the Plumber. Executive producers are Samuel Sarver and me, Darian Washington. Thanks for being here. You even got this far. Just look at you. Fucking look at you.